So welcome this morning. Hello and welcome to all the church family and welcome to all those that are watching online. You are most welcome among us. We are global family. We are not denominations. We are not little pieces here and there. We are the global bride of Christ together. Wherever we're worshiping, wherever you're watching from this morning, you are part of a global bride. You're part of the global church together. So welcome this morning. I've been really going through, we've been going through some hard stuff as a family recently over the last year. It's been a really tough year. And the one thing that I have found to be my strength is the ability to lean into God. Literally, the ability to lean into God. I've learned how to rest in a place that I would kind of jump in and out of, you know. And now I'm like, I don't want to get out of that place. I want to be in that place of constant leaning, of constant abiding, of constant coming from the place of resting. Coming from the place of knowing that I am held and I am secure, and that no one can take me from that place. The only person that can remove me from that place is me. The only person that can come out of that place is me. I remember when I was a little girl, I was 4 years old. My father was a plainclothes detective in the Harbour Police in Belfast. And he would be the one that dealt with the murders on the ships, on the big boats. And I remember we were going in to pick him up from work one day, and the place where you go to meet them up in the reception of the Harbour Police was a horrible place for a four-year-old child to go into, especially a little girl. You know, there were all sorts of not good people there. There were the smell, I remember the smell in the place and the smell of alcohol and the smell of whatever it is. I couldn't recognize it as a child. But I was terrified in that room waiting for my dad. And my mum was with me, but I was scared. I was scared. And I just wanted to run away. And then I remember the door opening to the right and my dad coming out, and he came over and he picked me up and wrapped me up in his arms and set me up on the desk. And he kept holding me on this desk. And I could see everybody then. I wasn't like the little one. I was like up above and I could see all the faces. I could see what was going on. And that's how the Lord, and I felt secure. I didn't need to fight and struggle. I could just rest in that moment, knowing that no harm would come to me because my dad had me. My dad had me. I was 4 years old and my daddy had me, and I was okay. It didn't matter what the circumstances were. It didn't matter where I was. I was okay. Why? Because my daddy had me. And so we are with the Lord today. It's like we've got to learn that we have an awesome daddy that wants to walk through that door at any given opportunity and wrap us up in his arms so that we don't see from the earthly position, but he raises us up to his level. He lifts us up to his level so that we see from his perspective, so that the fear is not there, the dread is not there, but that we see from his perspective, not as these little ones on the earth, but actually from a heavenly perspective, held in his arms, watching. And it's like he holds us and he's like, can you see your situation now? Can you see how much control I have of this thing? Can you see where we need to go now? So he holds us in that place above, and allows us to watch from the place of security. So I want to speak to you about leaning. It's good. It's good. So to lean and to trust all the way through the scripture, that word, God like was so clever. He gave like a word, a verb. And that word is botach. It's probably very wrongly pronounced, but hey, I'm going to do it with boldness, botach. And it means to put confidence in, to rely upon, to be secure in, to depend upon, to be so close to that there is touch. It's an intimate word. It's a personal word. And all the way through the scripture, it's used between those two words of leaning and trusting. Leaning and trusting. It comes from that same root. And so I want to speak to you today. I remember, like, as those of you that have children, when your children are hurting, when your children need advice, when your children want food, when your children want to see a movie, where do they go? They come up and they climb beside you and they cuddle in and they wingle their way in. It's like, mommy, mommy, mommy. And they get your attention. And from that place, they get love, they get comfort, they get healed up if they're wounded, they get loved upon, they get advice. And it's just the same with the Lord. When we climb up into his lap, when we come into that place of trusting, when we come into that place of leaning against him, we have that same, we can say, hey, daddy, daddy, daddy. And the Bible says that he is like the wraparound God. He like wraps around us and holds us like so securely that we have full confidence in his ability to take us through any given situation. So let's look, if you've got your Bibles with you today, let's look at Isaiah chapter 8. And we're going to start verse 8, a little bit before it actually. And it's Isaiah prophesying basically to the nations around him, to the kings around him, saying, so you're going to rally a war? You're going to come against us? Really? Really? So we'll start just above verse 8, and it says, it will overflow. Well, hold on. The Lord is about to bring, verse 7, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. Emmanuel. Raise a war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Purpose your plan, but it will not stand. God is with us. And he was like prophesying, so you nations want to attack, you nations want to prepare for battle. You nations are making your strategy and your plans to come against us, but I'm speaking a word against you, and it's Emmanuel, God with us. And Isaiah was so confident in his God and his God's deliverance that he could actually make a declaration, a prophetic declaration, that even though you make your strategies, even though you make your plans to come against us, Emmanuel, God with us. We have no fear of you. We are not in dread of you. God with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What would it be like for us in the face of adversity just to stand there and go, Emmanuel, with the full confidence of heaven behind us? Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Verse 11, it says, this is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Verse 12, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Doesn't that sound like today with all the conspiracy theories and all that's going on? Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be a holy place. He will be a holy place. So in verse 11, it says, this is what the Lord says to me with what? A strong hand upon me. There was a weight that came with the word of the Lord. When God speaks, there's a weight that comes with it. It's not just air. It's not just a release of words, but there is a creative power, a declarative power, a healing power, a salvation power, a restorative power, a redemptive power that comes with the word of God. Every word that comes out of his mouth is living and active. It is a double-edged sword. It has come to pierce. It has come to separate. It has come to heal. It has come to protect. So when God, it says he puts a strong hand, it means that he's trying to get your attention. When you feel God's presence on something, when you feel the weight of something, he's trying to get your attention. Maybe it's for a warning. Maybe he's trying to warn you about something that's coming. Maybe it's a call to hope in a desperate situation. Maybe it's a call to steadfastness when you're feeling so exhausted, you just want to give up and run away. You know, who's had those times when they've just thought, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. You know, when people walk away from you or people hurt you or whatever the situation, you're like, you know what, Lord, I'm done. And then the Lord comes with a strong hand and he puts his hand upon you again and he encounters you again. He holds on to you again and he says, I'm calling you to be steadfast right now because I am the one that will strengthen you. Lean on me. Rest on me. And this strong hand, it's like a call, isn't it? It's his call for us to call to him. It's like he touches you. You know, like if you're standing somewhere and somebody touches you, you're like, you instantly turn around to see who it is. When God puts his weight upon you, his hand upon you, it's because he wants your attention. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to empower you for something. So verse 12, where it speaks about, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls conspiracy. Oh, my days. It's like speaking the language of the world right now. You know, it says, do not fear what they fear. Don't dread what they dread. So don't be freaked out or fearful by what's happening around you right now. Is it nice? No, it is not nice. Is it serious? Yes, it is serious. But we have to walk this journey with the wisdom of God. We cannot stand in fear. We cannot stand in dread of this thing because we are called to lean into something greater than COVID. We're called to rest upon something greater than the one who has the answer. Over and above the vaccine, over and above science, we have a God who gives the medics their brains, you know, the scientists their brains, their ability. But actually, he is the one. He is the healer. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He is healer. He is the one that can turn a nation in a day. He is the one. So let's not be in fear and dread of what's happening around us, but let us be in fear and awe of the one that can change things in a moment. So always let the Spirit of God lead you. Always see that the Lord is greater than what is happening around you. That word dread means to be in awe of. It means to tremble before. So when you're in dread of something, you're giving something else authority over your emotions, over your heart. I see people giggling there in the corner, Victor Mitchell. And it's a trembling before, this word dread. And he says, do not dread what's going on around you. Do not be in fear of that. And the word fear means to respect and to be revered. So in this case, the Lord is saying, you know, don't look at what's going on around you. Don't even give it power. So even in regard to COVID today, don't give it any respect. Don't give it any space. Don't give it authority. But respect and revere the one who can change it in a moment. You know that song, One Touch from the King? One Touch from the King. Woo, come on. So let our confidence be in his leading and let our confidence be in our leaning into him. So the next scripture I want to look at is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We all should, actually, I think if you've ever grown up in Ireland, you will know this. You learned this with your breakfast cereal in the morning. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Why? It goes back to that verse 8 in Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. We have to lean on something else. Isaiah's confidence was in God. Our confidence needs to not be in ourselves and our own understanding, but in the Lord, acknowledging him in all that we do and he will make a way. He'll make a way. So why did Isaiah have the confidence to make the declaration? What happened to Isaiah? Isaiah had an encounter 2 chapters ago with God, with the heavenlies, a massive encounter where he heard heaven talking, where he heard God talking. He heard them talking together and he got privy to that conversation. He had an encounter with the heavenlies, with God, that transformed his ability to have his confidence in God. So what happened in our life 2 chapters ago that gave us confidence in God? What is it that God has done in our lives? You know, part of the scripture says, remember, remember his faithfulness. Remember, recount those things that God has done for you. Why? Because what he has done in the past, he will do again in the future. It is the prophetic testimony of Jesus that what he has done, he wants to do again. It's his nature. So we can have confidence in Emmanuel, in God with us. So no matter what is going on, when you look at that chapter in Isaiah chapter 8, what happens in the next chapter from that? It's the prophetic declaration of the Messiah. So in one chapter, he's saying, hey, you nations, you want to come against us? Ha, ha, ha. Well, I'm telling you, Emmanuel, God is with me. So you need to fear because all your plans are going to be thwarted. They're going to be shattered. You're going to be brought down low. Why? Because in coming next is the Messiah. And he begins to prophesy the coming of Jesus. He begins to prophesy the savior of the world, he that will come and transform everything around us. So no matter what's going on around you right now, God has a plan. Hallelujah. God has a plan.
Come on.
No matter what you're facing right now, God has a plan. God has a plan. Come on. So Psalm 13, verse 5. Psalm 13, verse 5 says, I will trust. There you go again. I will trust. I will lean into your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation and your loving kindness. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation and your loving kindness. So again, what are we trusting on? What are we leaning into? What is it that we are called to rest on? Number one, his unfailing love. His unfailing never fails. No matter what happens to us, no matter what we've done, where we've been, his love is unfailing. He's always there to bring us back. His salvation for us. He is the salvation. He is the savior, not us. And his loving kindness, oh my gosh, his kindness toward us. So trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices. No matter what our situation, we can actually choose to be happy. We can choose joy. We can choose to rejoice. So not just have joy, but to rejoy, keep having joy on a repetitive behavior, on a repetitive pattern, keep rejoicing. Keep singing hallelujah. Why? Because we lean into what is unfailing, what is steadfast, what is salvation now and coming. It's so, so good. So maybe we could turn that verse and we could turn around and say, I will trust in, lean into, rest upon, and place all my confidence in your unfailing love for me, your kindness toward me, and your salvation poured out over me. Come on, come on. Or we could say that same loving kindness, which has loved me with a love that is everlasting, which forgives me and cleanses me, that love that never gets tired of me, that love, that loving kindness, Lord, I lean into with all the confidence of my heart, with all the confidence of my heart, and I choose to be in a place of rest as I lean on you. So this whole like leaning thing, the scriptures are just full of it. Put your trust in, lean on, rely upon. Come on. It is good news. It is good news. So do you know that God actually loves you leaning on him? You know, sometimes if you're like snuggled up to someone and they're like, get off. God's like, come on. He's like, I want more. So let's look at Psalm 32, verse 10. And Psalm 32, verse 10 says, the Lord's unfailing love, what surrounds those who lean, who trust in him. The Lord's unfailing love, unfailing, doesn't matter where you're at right now, doesn't matter what you're facing, whatever situation you're in, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, his love is unfailing for you. And what does it do? It calls him to surround you. It calls him to surround you, that wraparound God. So the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who what? Lean on him, trust in him. Oh my gosh, it's so freaking sweet, isn't it? It's like so sweet. Oh my God, so good. So good. Don't you just love him? So it's like he continuously, like from Genesis to Revelation, he continuously lets us know that he so desires our company. He desires us to come and lean on him. He desires us to come spend time with him. He desires us to come close so that he can come close to us, so that he can help us in every situation, in every situation. So let's look at another scripture, Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, verse 20. And that said, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Hello? Who wants to prosper? Me. I want to prosper in everything, health, wealth, family, intelligence, whatever. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts, leans upon the Lord. Come on. Blessed is the one who trusts, leans upon the Lord. So that means for me, if in my like simple-mindedness, when I trust and lean upon the Lord and I listen, it's going to lead me into a place of prosperity. It's going to lead me into a place of blessing. And that word blessing is the word Esther. And it means happiness. It means internal joy. So to be blessed, if when I lean on God and trust in God, and I know that someone greater than me is in charge of everything that's going on around me, I can actually stand in the place of joy. I can stand in the kingdom fullness of joy, not just being happy, but actually being joyful. And that word trust, again, means to put your confidence in, to rely upon, to depend upon, to be secure, to be so close you touch. So whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. Where do we get instruction? We get instruction when we lean, when we trust, when we spend time. Come on, it's good. I remember one great example for me of trust was, we were in America. I was over visiting Grace when they were at Bethel. And I have always, since I was 12 years of age, been terrified of horses. Terrified. I got knocked off a horse and terrified. If they come near me, I actually feel sick. And when I was in America, we met this girl who's a horse whisperer, and we were at her, Grace did riding there every week with the kids, and I went up and she said, oh, do you want to brush down a horse? I'm like, no, I'm going to go look at the ducks. She says, what's your fear? And I'm like, my fear is the horses. I don't like them. Says, you don't like them or you're scared of them? I said, I'm terrified of them. She said, what happened? So I explained, and she said, you have PTSD in relation to horses. I'm like, oh. She goes, do you want to be cured? Do you want to get rid of this thing? She says, because you know it's a spiritual thing. PTSD is a spiritual link. It's a link in your soul from a trauma. And I'm like, okay. So she said, here's a brush. I want you to brush this horse. And she just left me there, and I started brushing the horse. Long story short, we walked the horse, we saddled the horse, we walked the horse down into the ring, and she taught me how to lunge with the whip thing, how to lunge the horse and bring it under control, that the horse was like doing what I wanted it to do. And then you had to stop and put your head down And this horse, if you had domination of the horse and authority, the horse would walk around the ring and then it would come and it would put its head to your head. And I thought, I don't want the horse's head at my head. But I stood and I put my head down, and this horse, I could see it coming, and it came right up and it put its head against my head, and it just stood waiting for a command. And so I turned my back and I walked in like figures of eight around the ring, and it followed me with its head right near my butt, just walking around after me. And I was able to get on that horse and ride that horse around the ring. And you know, the moment I sat on the horse and took the reins, that thing left me. I felt it physically leave. The fear left me. And not only did it leave me with horses, it left me with heights. It left me with going out in between two places of water. I had so much fear in my life, and I didn't realize it was a spiritual thing. And it left me. And you know, when we put our confidence in the Lord, there's no fear. There's no fear. God will come, and he will make a way for that, the fears that are in you to be delivered, for you to be set free from fear. He will make a way for that dread in you to be healed, to be removed. Every spiritual hook that the enemy has with lies that have been spoken over you or things that have been done to you, the Lord wants to come as you lean into him. He wants to come and he wants to just begin to release those things one by one, to remove those things, those fearful things, those things that give you worry, those things that make you feel that you're unworthy, those things that make you feel that you're unlovable. He wants to come and wrap around you with his everlasting love and transform you. So what is the key to our healing? What is the key to instruction? What is the key to moving forward? What is the key to releasing fear, being released from? Leaning, trusting. So let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 5. No, Mark 6, 56. Mark 6, 56. Don't you love scripture? Don't you love it? It says here, all who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. They were made whole. They were made whole. Whether it was the demoniac that broke out of chains because he was so powerful with demons, whether it was the lepers, whether it was the woman with the issue of blood, she just touched his hem. She just touched his hem. She leaned into what she could get a hold of. And she was made whole. She was made whole. You know, there are days and moments when we spend time with God, when we touch the hem, and we know that we have touched the hem of his garment. Something happens in those moments. There are days when there's a knowing that something has passed from him to us. There are moments in our life when we lean into the Lord that we know that there's been a divine transaction from him to us. Something changes. Something has been transformed. There's been a divine exchange. Leaning is personal. It's intimate. It might look like simply knowing that you're loved. An encounter with God may just mean that you actually really understand what it means to be loved. It could be a revelation of a transforming truth in your life. Like for me, that actually I have authority over the animal kingdom. I have authority and I can take authority over fear. It could be hope for light at the end of a tunnel, where you just feel like you're in this dark place right now and you don't know how to get out. So an encounter, that leaning, that trusting, can just bring you into a place of hope for light to come into that tunnel. It could be giving you a new perspective on something that you are just struggling with and you need perspective of how to move forward. It could be courage for a situation that's wounded you. It could be a freshness in your spirit Who needs that? Woo, we all need that. Come on. We all need that with Jesus. So we all need to lean. There's no like exclusion here. You just need to get into that place of leaning, of trusting. And it's like, Shakundaraba Sandarabake. Come on, Jesus. Let's go there. And it could be like answers to questions that you've been looking for. It could be joy, an encounter of joy. If you've been feeling like a miserable old thing and nobody wants to hang around you anymore, you just need the joy of the Lord. Come on, you know, woo! And it could be something really deep, like forgiving yourself. It could be something really deep, like just simply learning how to forgive you so that you can forgive others. Like, come on, it could be anything. What is it that God wants to encounter in you? What is it as you lean into the Lord and you like rest in him and trust in him? What is it that he wants to get access to? What is it he wants to reveal to you? So when God says he's going to lay his hand on you, it's not something to fear. It's something to encounter. It's something to encounter. There's nothing to fear. Whether your circumstances are inner circumstances or outer circumstances, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 22. It says here, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, yet they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Like truly, you just take hours off your life by worrying, not adding them on, you know, gives you wrinkles and all sorts. So, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. We worry about what we're going to eat or drink and what we're going to wear. Yet we have been given something so amazing, the kingdom of heaven. We have been given the kingdom of God. Come on. If we could just grasp what we have in our possession, what lives within us, what we can release around us, man, we would be so powerful. We have been given the kingdom. So it's like, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Fear not, little flock, for I have given you the kingdom. I have given you the kingdom. His heart cries out today to you guys, you know. His heart cries out, come lean on me. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Let me lay my hand upon you so that you would know Emmanuel. That you would know that I am is with you. Leaning, trusting, letting go of feeling that we're responsible for everything. That is our job. It's his job to have the answers. Our job is to let it go. Our job is to lean and to trust. Like, what a lie we have believed that we have to sort everything out. What a lie that we've believed that we have to be responsible for every decision that's made. And yes, we do carry responsibility for our actions, but actually there's one greater that wants us to lean upon him, that he wants to give us a divine exchange of his truth in place of those lies. It's time for an upgrade, people. It's time for an upgrade. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord completely. Do not rely on your own opinions. Come on. Do not rely on your own opinions, but with all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision that you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. So was it possible for us to know God in such a deep way? Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. But it takes you to be purposeful. It takes you to make time. Just like you do in a marriage or a friendship. You spend time together. How do you guys in Ireland get to know each other? How do you guys in England? How do you guys in Africa get to know each other? You spend time together. You eat together. You fellowship together. A marriage, you spend time together. You talk together. Leaning and trusting. It's a place of rest and it's a place of joy. It's a battleground and it's a paradise. So today, I just want to say, guys, it's time for an upgrade. And if you need an upgrade, just raise your hands and just say after me, Father, I am ready. I am so ready for an upgrade today. Come, Lord, I choose to lean on you today. I choose to trust in you today. I choose to give myself into those everlasting arms that holds me securely, that takes me to the place where I have no fear or dread, that takes me to the place where I discover and I see things from a different perspective. Thank you, Lord, that you take us into the places of intimacy. And from there, Lord, you lead us. So God, today I say, I want an upgrade. I want an upgrade. I want to learn. I want to come and lean. I want to come and rest. Come and speak to me in Jesus' name. Amen. And one last thing in John. You know, when at the Last Supper, when John the Beloved was leaning on Jesus, it said, you know, he was leaning, he was resting on the Lord. And you know, in that place, he got to hear the answer to the question that everybody else was asking. He got the answer. He got the answer to the question that everybody else was asking. In John chapter 13, it says that John the Beloved rested into the Lord. And I'm just going to read it to you, actually, because I think it's amazing. Just as we finish. That's John chapter 13, verse 21. As after he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another. Who did they look at? Each other.
They looked at each other. It's like, oh, how many times do we go to people?
Say, I don't know what to do about such and such. Oh my gosh. The disciples went to each other and said, oh my gosh, what's he talking about? What's he doing? You know? And his disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him, close by. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. And leaning back against Jesus, he said, Lord, who is it? Leaning back against Jesus in a place where the others did not go.
And Jesus answered him, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread and I have dipped in the dish. When we lean in, we get the answers that other people just talk about. When we lean in,
we get direction that other people wonder about. When we lean in, we get the call of the Lord to this place of beautiful intimacy. A place where we can put confidence in him.
where we can rely on him, where we can be secure in him, where we can find joy in the most difficult situations.
John the Beloved. I want to be a John the Beloved. I want to be the one that leans in.
When everybody else is talking about it, I want to get the answers. I want to be wrapped around by his presence. So I bless you today. I bless you. Father, I bless each one here this morning. I bless them to know what it is to lean. I bless them to know what it is to trust you in such a deep way. I bless them to know your strong hand upon them, God. Lord, that they are secure, that your strength, God, is more than anything we will ever need or have to face in our lives, God. I thank you, Lord, that as we lean into you, that we get the answers to the questions that others just ask. We thank you that when we lean into you, that you wrap around us, says that you surround us with your love and kindness. So, Lord, we choose today. We choose today to be blessed in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So, if any of you want to re-listen to this message or share
this message, you can share it on your Facebook, or in a little while it will be coming up on YouTube. You can actually share from YouTube also. So we just bless you guys today. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are in the world today. And may God bless you in Jesus' name.